we read the word of the Lord tonight, congregation, from Psalm 90. Psalm 90, it's on page 588. The first of the Psalms in the fourth book of the collection of Psalms in the canonical Psalter, Psalm of Moses, Psalm 90. Let us listen to this word which the Lord speaks to us. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servant. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Our text tonight are the words of verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. May the Lord bless this reading and our hearing of his word this evening. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I said somewhat facetiously to my wife before the service this evening that the sermon is based on Psalm 90, and perhaps it would be best simply to read Psalm 90 and then say, Amen. What more can be said? I can remember a dear elder who died last year, rather suddenly, in Ontario, whom I cherished as the best of friends, saying to me that whenever the old year passes and the new year comes, it was my father's in the Netherlands practice to call the family together at midnight, and there would be the reading of Psalm 90, and then he would lead us in prayer. Psalm 90 is a very sobering psalm. There's no bitterness in it. It's not an unhappy psalm. It ends on a very joyful and anticipating God's blessing upon the people of God in the days to come. But it is a very sobering psalm. I mentioned this morning, stole a little bit of my thunder for this evening's sermon, that little line of the pastor in the movie, "I would rather die today and go to heaven than live to be 100 and land in hell." Now that might sound a bit quaint and a little bit old-fashioned by the standard of the world in which we find ourselves, but that's a statement pregnant, full of meaning. If you lived by that truth, you would have a sweet, sweet life, and I trust you do. I'd rather die today and go to heaven than live to be 100 and land in hell. One of the most profound things I read this past year was a saying in a diary of Jim Elliot. Now, you know Jim Elliot through his wife, Elizabeth. He's the husband, or she's the wife, or he's the husband, rather, of Elizabeth Elliot. And in his diary in 1949, this was 3 years before he lost his life, he was martyred by the Auca Indians to whom he was bringing the gospel in the jungles of South America. And he wrote in his diary on October 28, 1949, and you have to listen to this and let it sink in. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. Did you hear that? He is no fool who is willing to give what he cannot keep. Everything this world has to offer, and whatever else you want to put by way of imagination in the blanks. He who gains the world but loses his own soul, of what value is it? It's all nothing. But to belong to God, who numbers our days and allots them to us, gives them to us to be used in His service, however many He gives us, to belong to God through Jesus Christ and to be joint heirs, as I said this morning, with Christ of every good thing. And to know, as the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, that not only is there an inheritance kept for us by God, undefiled, our Father doesn't have a bumper sticker that says, I'm spending the children's inheritance as I make my way through this short life. No, He keeps that inheritance undefiled. He preserves it for us. But even better than that, He preserves us for it. It doesn't do you any good to have an inheritance if you die before you receive it. And the glorious thing is that we as God's people who know what it is to belong to the Lord, but pilgrims in this world, making our way to the heavenly city, we know that we can lose everything and not be fools because we've gained something that we cannot lose. Now, Psalm 90, we're going to focus tonight on these simple words in verse 12, which I call a prayer for wisdom in the new year. Very simple. Teach us, says the psalmist, to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart full of wisdom. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Three things. First of all, notice the place that the psalmist stands in when he offers this prayer. It's right in the middle of this psalm, this prayer of Moses, and there's some things that come before it that set the stage and give it its background against which it has particular force and meaning. So that in the first place, what's the place from which Moses speaks and offers this prayer? That in the first place. Secondly, what's he asking for? Teach us to number our days aright. More on that in a bit, but it seems a bit odd. You could go right over that in a flash. You don't need a pocket calculator to get that one worked out. You can do that in a flash. Teach us to number our days. What's the petition? Then thirdly, what does it serve? What is its purpose? Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. First of all, the place. This is a prayer of Moses, we're told, the man of God. And in the Old Testament, there are three such poems or prayers. One offered by Moses, you can find that in Numbers chapter, or rather in Exodus chapter 15, where Moses celebrates the redemption of the people of Israel out of Egypt and the destruction of Pharaoh's host. It's a song of celebration. It's a song full of exuberance. At last, God has brought us up out of our bondage for lo, these many years in Egypt. It's a song bursting with praise. There's another psalm of Moses. It's found in, or poem, in Deuteronomy 32, where he sings on the occasion of his ascent to Mount Nebo, where he's to die. Having from a distance but a glimpse of the promised land, but never entering into it. Looking for a city that has foundations, but never actually in this life receiving it. Standing at the borders of the promised land, but taken, swept away in the way of death. And then there's Psalm 90. And Psalm 90 is probably a psalm of Moses that was written on the occasion of the kind of events that are recorded in Numbers chapter 20 in the Old Testament, where we have a record of the death of Miriam, Moses' sister. We have a record of how Moses sinned grievously in striking the rock in frustration over the unbelief and the like of the people of Israel. He'd had enough, and in his anger he struck the rock with his rod, for which God said to him, "You will not enter the promised land." And also the death is recorded in Numbers 20 of Aaron. Now, why is that all significant? Well, it's significant because in the Old Testament, and that's the provenance or the context and setting, and it's expressed by Moses in the opening section of Psalm 90. Moses is an old man of some 120 years of age. And he is among the generation that came out of Egypt, one of the very last. Joshua, Caleb are the only two. We're told in the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 14 that when the children of Israel were brought up out of Egypt before their wilderness wanderings, they numbered some 600,000 men who were fitted or suited for battle. And it's estimated that if you do the math, there may have been as many as 2 million people. Now, here's the old man Moses, toward the end of his life, just immediately prior to his death, not entering, having yearned to enter, but not entering the promised land. Having witnessed, under the judgment of God, the passing away of that entire multitude, the whole generation. He's down to himself, Joshua, and Caleb. And that's why you can understand that he begins the psalm, "Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death, for they are like the new grass of the morning.'" Now, you have to live in a place like Palestine or Southern California to appreciate that. When the rains come in the winter season or dew in the morning in the desert, which is otherwise bleak and lifeless, the grass springs up. Or if you want to bring green to the lawn, you plant ryegrass, which doesn't last long because as soon as the heat of the sun comes in the springtime, it dies. Well, Moses he's not speaking as an abstract armchair observer. He's talking from within the framework of his life experience. Now, it's rather a unique experience. It's not the same as ours. We didn't live in that generation. We were not among the disobedient people of God in the days of Israel's wilderness wanderings prior to entrance into the promised land, which was but a type of our future home in God's presence, the new heavens and the new earth. And so one has to be a little careful here, but it's important to recognize all of this to get a sense of perspective, the place from which Moses speaks the prayer that he offers in verse 12. Because he has observed that our days are numbered and that sin has brought God's judgment, death, into the human race. And he's seen it all firsthand. If I may draw just a little bit of an analogy, I can remember some years ago when my elderly maternal grandmother in Hospice, Iowa, who lived to the age of 98, didn't quite make 100 by reason of strength, but she made 98. She would lament when I visited her, which was always a great privilege, the fact that she was alone left. You know what that would be like? All your friends gone. An entire generation. The only people left alive in the community and in the church with which you are familiar and with whom you have lived all your life are the next generation or two. And she would say to me, I don't understand it, Cornell. What the Lord's purpose is in leaving me behind. I've been to the funerals of all my friends. I haven't a reason to live. There's not a thing in this world that captivates any longer my interest. What is God's purpose in my life? Now, Moses is an old man, is in that circumstance and in that place. He has witnessed, under the judgment of God, the passing away of an entire generation of the people of the Lord. And then he prays this prayer. We come to the petition. Very simple, as I said a moment ago. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, Calvin says about this prayer, he uses a word that in our house grandfathers are not allowed to use in the presence of the grandchildren, so my protection is it's Calvin speaking, not Grandpa Venema. He says, how much profounder our stupidity in not numbering our days. We can measure all sorts of distances and spans outside of ourselves, but not when it comes to ourselves, 70 in our own case. This is a wisdom that is rare among men. But what greater proof of madness than failing to consider our own end? Now, part of the reason I spent time with the old man Moses is because I know very well you young folk in the congregation, that's most of you, in comparison to me at least, you haven't gotten about to this. You think you're on the upward slope, and folk like me, we're on the downward slope, and we're holding off as long as we can the reckoning as to the number of our days. I'm in my 20s, I've gotten into the 30s, that's not the best situation to be in, but it's better than in the 50s and 60s. I still got the most of my life in front of me, so I'm calculating what I'm going to do with it. I can remember a few years ago, I was observing in the presence of one of my children something to the effect that I was middle-aged, and now I give it away, the son in question says, Dad, how old are you? And I stopped and I wondered, now, why is he asking me that question? And then I understood fairly well, I'm 50-some. Well, where did that middle age come from? Do the math. Well, I said, a son like this, who can find? Do the math. And you know, as you get older, I think the old folks that are on my side of the divide can agree with me on this. There was a time in my life, on vacation, I'd start talking about something called retirement, and I would get the evil eye. No mention of retirement. Now, I'm not really a big fan of retirement, but we may speak of that now. It looms rather large on the horizon. Social Security eligibility. And you do the math. Young people aren't good at the math. But this is not a psalm for old folks. It's a psalm for all of God's people. And so whether young or old alike, the Lord says, pray at the beginning of this year of our Lord, 2012, that you'll do the math. And this is the way it comes out. You don't know how long you have to live. It may, by reason of strength, be 80 years. It may be much, much less. This might be the end of your life this coming year. Oh boy, there goes the preacher with that preacher's talk. You may not live out the day. Well, of course I'll live out the day. I'm quite sure of that. Certainly, I'm going to be around for quite some time if I can say anything in the matter. Well, the fact of the matter is, God has allotted you something that is very precious. All of the days of your life, and they're numbered in His book. And there's a beginning, and there's an ending. And we're all closer to the end than we were a year ago. And not one of us in this room knows how far, what the distance is to the point of the ending. But if you recognize today, at the beginning of this year, in union with Jesus Christ, I don't know how many days the Lord has given me to live. I don't know whether this is going to be my last year. Doesn't matter. The most precious thing I have is each day that the Lord gives me to live. You know, we all know this. If you had a bargain with the doctor when he tells you you have a very serious illness, what's it going to take, doc, to cure this thing or defeat it? You'll do whatever it takes. Your big house and all the rest, it doesn't mean anything without we know that saying. Without our health, what do we have? Big zero. Now, why is this so obvious and at the same time so important? I'm told that Philip of Macedon, great leader in the ancient Greek world, actually had at his employ a slave whose job description had one line: remind the king every day that this might be his last day. Or as Jonathan Edwards put it, perhaps more well as a Christian, I have resolved, he said at one point, to live my life each day as though it were my last. Now, I said earlier, this is a sobering psalm, but it's not bitter, because this is a prelude to wisdom, living wisely. If you know how brief, how precious, how few, how clearly marked out the span of your life, the psalmist says in Psalm 39, it's a handbreadth. And as he says so eloquently, Moses, in this passage, we soon fly away. You can live life to the full. By the way, I was talking with a budding theologian the other day about this very thing. And he was telling me that he was learning in school, kindergarten, how to count. And I said, well, how far can you count? 100, he said. Ooh, I said, that's pretty good. What about 300? Well, I think I could do it. I think you could count, Grandpa, to 1,000, couldn't you? Oh, I suppose, I said, I could. It's not hard. But, he says, what about a gazillion? Only God can count to a gazillion. And I said, amen. Out of the mouth of babes comes praise. He's old enough, you know, they do the finger thing, to know exactly how long the life of anyone in this room is going to be. Not very long. So make it count. Live it to the full. Enjoy every new day. You see, the perspective here is, out of the position in which Moses finds himself, he prays, Lord, teach us to number our days. Why? That we may gain a heart of wisdom. Notice how the psalm goes on. Why does it speak of satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days? Make us glad, Lord, for as many days as you have afflicted us. And so may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. You know, if you really believed that this was the last year, you've probably known people who, as a matter of fact, in God's providence, knew it. We celebrated my parents' 49th wedding anniversary because we knew they were not going to have a 50th. and every day counts. When you get up in the morning and there's your wife, she's more precious to you now than the day you were married. And those children that sit around your table, those grandchildren, these dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, you fill in the blanks. My wife will tell you, I was going down memory lane yesterday. Out came the albums from the basement, and on the record player, you talk about an antique, it's coming back. It's coming back. I'm on the cutting edge with my record player. And out come the old albums, and there was one, a popular group from the 60s. Kind of an unusual album. I won't give the group away, lest I ruin my reputation irrevocably. But there's on that one, I used to listen to it day and night when I was newly married. And I called my wife into the room. I said, listen to this song. And it had this lyric. It wasn't very poetic, but it was something like, all I ever wanted was to live my life with you. Now, that's not real, as I say, poetic and profound. But the folk who know how to number their days and who belong to God for Jesus' sake and who know they have a really great future in front of them, in the few short days that God gives them to live. Christians, you know, the word on the street is, to be a Christian, that's sort of stifling, huh? That's limiting, that sort of boxes you in. Oh, parents, don't teach your children that. You tell your children it's the greatest, it's the most wonderful of lives. Speaking of that, I watched that film. And if you look at it, It's a Wonderful Life. First time in my life. It took me 57 years to get to it. It's a Wonderful Life. And now you have to see the thing through the spectacles of Scripture, because it might otherwise be a bit schmaltzy and sentimental. But you know, if you've ever watched it, how at the end of the film, in its climactic stage, the lead actor discovers what he apparently had forgotten. What a wonderful life he had. In his wife, his children, his business, his friends, everything that makes life worth living. And so what the Lord says to us, brothers and sisters, tonight, is you go into this new year of our Lord, serving the Lord, enjoying every day, delighting in every good gift God puts into your hands, and you live every hour, every day, and you make it count. You make it count for the Lord, for His church and kingdom, for everything that He puts into our lives that makes it the wonderful life that it is in the Lord. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we acknowledge that we put off, we avoid, we often neglect to do this very simple thing, and that is reflect and ponder and meditate that our days are indeed numbered. They are few. We only get so many. And so help us to have that kind of perspective. Whether we live a long life or a short life, whether we go through this year or it's our last year, may in each day of our life it be our prayer. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days, that we may get hearts full of wisdom. Satisfy us with your love, establish the work of our hands, and bless us, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen.